Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. This is your brother, Abdurrahman Murphy, and I want to welcome you to our newest heartwork series, the first of the new year 2021, Quran Study for Young Professionals, a study of Surah Taha. We're going to be going through the 20th chapter in the Quran, studying the lessons and themes from this beautiful chapter, and seeing how, as young professionals, we can take these lessons and spiritually and practically apply them to our lives. If you appreciate the work we do and you benefit from it and you want to support it so we can keep going, please visit rootsdfw.org/sustain and become a monthly sustainer. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah reward you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All righty. Welcome back. Welcome home to our Quran study, our weekly session, heart work, where we're gonna go through, inshallah, the entirety of Surah Taha. And we are currently hovering right around ayah number 51-ish, going into, inshallah, a longish passage that we're gonna have tonight, inshallah. So we've gotten to the point now where Musa, upon him be peace, alayhi salam, has been given the imperative to go and meet Fir'aun, to go and speak to Fir'aun, and he requests that Allah Ta'ala ordain Harun alayhi salam to join him. Allah Ta'ala accepts, and then he goes and he speaks to Fir'aun, and he begins to make the introduction, I guess you could say, or the call to rectify Fir'aun's transgressions. Fir'aun responds in a way that you might expect him to respond, with no character, no good manners, just kind of, drunk off of his own power. And the conversation continues. The point where we left off last week was the point where Fir'aun asked, who is the Lord of you two? And he mentions that our Lord, الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى, that our Lord is the one who granted everything its created form and guided that thing as well, and gave guidance to that thing as well. So establishing this omnipotence, this power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we're going to start in this kind of section and move forward. Fir'aun tries to have like a gotcha moment. He tries to plant a question upon Musa alayhi salam, in which he thinks and believes and feels that, this is a question that I'm going to be able to stun Musa with. I'm going to be able to stun him with this, and he won't be able to answer me. And everybody who's watching, all the people who are here, they're going to see as plain as day that this guy doesn't have the answer to everything, right? And this is really, I think, one of the, if you translate this moment to the modern era where you and I live right now, this is one of the great charges against religion. Is that if religion were right, if it were true, then should it not have the exact answer to everything? Every question I ask, should that not be answered by religion, right? And you may have heard that. You may have heard people who identify as people who are against belief or against religion, kind of saying, well, it doesn't really have the answers to the problems that we have in the world, right? It's a tradition that people follow, but it doesn't answer the important questions. And so Fir'aun, he asks this question that, well, what happened to the people who came before us? If you're a messenger and your job is to deliver the message and to, bring this salvation and this clarity and this guidance to humanity, then what about those people who came before us? And so he thinks that he's kind of got Musa up against the wall, like, you can't go anywhere. This is a question now that you're not going to be able to answer. And what does Musa do? Who can give us the answer? What does Musa respond? Ayah number 52. So if you have your copy of the Quran, I'm sorry guys, we're all out. Every Monday, mashallah, we're just gonna do a recurring order every week so that we can get copies for everybody. Ayah number 52. Who can read it? Yes, go ahead in the back. Yeah. So Musa responds in summary saying that قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي, this is knowledge that is exclusively with my Lord? I don't know. I don't know the answer. And for a lot of us, we feel like, you know, if I ever said that, if I ever admitted not knowing something, then that would be an indictment against me and my religion. That would be it. Like, we're done. You know, if somebody feels like they're going to answer, and this is why I don't like the culture of like religious debate, because a lot of times it's not really about finding the truth. It's about performance, right? And so Musa just says point blank in this big arena, I don't know. And subhanAllah, when I read this, you have to think to yourself, like, how comforting is it that a messenger of God is able to be asked a question about some very detailed theological thing? It's not like some random question, like it's not a big picture question. It's a very specific question. What's the salvation status of those people who came before us? And instead of him trying to come up with something or answer off of the cuff, or he just says, this question you've asked is something that only God really knows the definitive answer to. Right? But he says at the same time that this Lord that knows the answer never makes mistakes, never faults, never errs. So while you might ask this question, I don't know the answer, realize that Allah does know the answer. Right? And this reminds me of something that Imam al-Ghazali wrote in one of his books. The book is called Munqidh min al-Dalal, Deliverance from Error. And it's Imam Ghazali, this is Rahmah by the way, this is mercy from Allah descending. So if you hear it, you realize this is just showering. Rain is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ghazali, he writes, very interesting. He says something very powerful. He says, you know, Islamic knowledge, Quran, Sunnah, Hadith, Islamic law, this is all knowledge that has a purpose, right? It has a goal. What is the goal of Islamic knowledge, y'all? What is the goal of the Quran? What is the goal of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Basically, why are we here, huh? Yeah, guidance, hidayah. Allah Ta'ala says, hudan lil muttaqin, that this book is guidance for those who are God conscious. So the purpose of this endeavor, of study, of discussion, of reading, of reflecting, is so that one can find closeness to Allah, to be guided to the straight path, and eventually to Allah's pleasure and His Jannah, His reward, right? Imam Ghazali says, That is one kind of knowledge. And he says, there are other kinds of knowledge that have different goals. And he says, one of the greatest mistakes that people make is when they think that one kind of knowledge can answer a question from a different kind of knowledge. So he says, you want precision? You want exactness? You want, you know, fraction, mathematical, precise? He says, that's math, that's arithmetic, right? He says, you're not going to be able to find that kind of precision in the questions of religion, because that's not the goal of religion. So sometimes we ask questions of Allah that we have not been given the knowledge about, but that's not an indictment against knowledge. It's not an indictment against religion, right? It's like, what's the job of Google Maps? What's the job of Google Maps? To take you to your destination, right? Yes. So if you want to go to a restaurant, you type in the name of the restaurant, Google Maps pulls it up, not Apple Maps, that'll send you to one in Kansas, right? Google Maps pulls it up and you hit directions, and they're really generous. They give you like all kinds of stuff like pictures and reviews and all that. But if you want to know what the average tip that is left at the restaurant you're going to is, like, what is the average tip? Just so I know, so I'm prepared. Go eat there. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to perpetuate the Muslim stereotype. I want to know how to tip properly. What's the average tip? And you're looking for it all over Google Maps, and you're like, I can't find it. Is that an indictment against the app itself, or the software, or the people who made it, or anything? No, it's not. Why? Because that's not the function of the design of that app itself. And to Allah, the example is infinitely greater, right? So we ask questions of precision. Right? How many hairs exactly did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have? No one knows, except for Allah. You know, how many, what length beard to the millimeter did he have, alayhi salam? You know, these kinds of questions, people are chuckling because they sound a little bit humorous, but in reality, we ask very... So what happens if, and then we start to go through like these scenarios in our head, what's the judgment of a person who does that? Well, we don't know definitively, right? But what he does say is that Allah knows. Now listen to the next part. Who can read ayah number 53 for us? Ayah 53. Anybody want to go for it? Yes, go ahead, Malik. Actually, Malik, you've read, and I appreciate it, but I saw somebody from the corner of my eye raise her hand as well. So I'm going to go for you, inshallah, okay? But I appreciate it, Malik. May Allah reward you for reading as if you'd read. Go ahead. Amazing, subhanAllah. He says, but you want to know who our Lord is, right? I don't know the answer to the question about the fate of people who came before us. That's not something that Allah has told me. But you know what I can tell you? That the Lord that I'm trying to introduce you to, the one that I'm trying to get you to get on board with, that Lord is the one who gave you everything that you have, right? الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مَهْدًا. He laid out the earth for you in the way that it's laid out. That the earth is traversable. The earth didn't have to be like this, by the way. The earth could have been just like non-stop volcanoes. It could have been like a Mario level. You can tell that I'm playing Mario with Musa a lot, right? It could have been like uninhabitable. It could have been lava everywhere. Like it could have just been spikes. It could have been like poison. Imagine if it was poisonous to walk on soil. Imagine, right? You hear about these stories of people getting like these, you know, really tragic diseases because they touch something or there's like a bacteria on it. Subhanallah. I mean, look at this past year that we've been living and how life has just shifted so dramatically, so drastically from something that we can't even see, right? We can't even see. We couldn't even tell how it was transmitted at first. This is not the default state that Allah Ta'ala created the earth in. He created it as a place of livability. And that's not a foregone conclusion. We didn't deserve that, you know what I mean? So every day we wake up, you look out the window and you see that the earth is a place that you can walk on, you can drive on, you can see the horizon, you can see grass and pavement, soil, rocks. That's something alone. Musa alayhi salam is saying, that's inevitable proof and direct proof of itself that God is your creator. Not only that, but he also created for you these pathways by which he sends rain down from the sky. You can travel and Allah sends rain down from the sky. And that rain is not pointless. That rain is not, you know, just aesthetic, right? Aesthetic. It's not aesthetic. That rain is meant functionally to produce sustenance for you. The crops that you're eating, Fir'aun, the harvest that your slaves are bringing in, right? The people that you're oppressing, that you're eating from that food, the animals that are eating from that crop and then you're eating them, you think that you had something to do with that? You think you control that? No. That was done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what he mentions. Says that the plants grow and your cattle can graze. He says this, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةٍ لِلْأُولِ النَّهَى. That this is something to think about for people who are sound in their judgment, right? The one who believes in Allah and the one who rejects Allah, they both eat vegetation from the earth, yes? The one who believes in Allah and the one who rejects Allah both experience the rain from the sky, yeah? They both drive in their cars, they both walk in the parks. Everybody on earth gets to experience the blessings the same way. So the existence of the blessing is not enough. The existence of the blessing is not going to inject realization into the heart and consciousness of a person. What's going to bring that realization is what? Thinking about it. What we're doing now. Right? I always tell this story about the kid that I took on a hike. We saw this waterfall after 2 hours of hiking. And as everyone was in disbelief, he just says, I could have looked at this on Google Images. That was his moment. Like he's just like, everyone's like, wow, kids are making wudu from it. It's like ice cold. I'm praying no one's going to fall in it because I don't know how to explain to their parents that they were eaten by a bear, right? Like I just don't want to get, you know. And there's one kid just says, I don't know why I came all this way. It was a lot of work for something I could have just searched for on Google Images. And subhanAllah, it's crazy. You have like people who are looking at it and they're astounded. And the same waterfall, the same experience, you have another person looking at it and they're just completely and totally meh, like that, this is pointless, right? Is the waterfall any different? No, it's the exact same experience, but the heart that is experiencing it is different, right? So that's why the key to everything, as the Prophet ﷺ said, is ala wa hiya al-qalb. This life is the same set of experiences for most people, for everybody, right? With much overlap. There are unique experiences, but there's much overlap, right? But at the end of the day, it's the hearts that can translate and decode those experiences. So he said, in these signs are signs for people who have sound judgment. And then he gives him the knockout punch. Go ahead, continue. Ayah number 55. Minha. Or from it. Go ahead, from the earth. Number, yeah. Go ahead, number 55, yeah. And so here you see three stages of Musa introducing faith to the heart of Fir'aun. Number one is he's calling him to it directly. Number two is that when he's being challenged on it, he asks him to reflect. Because reflection is the thing that breaks the rust from around the heart. Number three is what? At the end of it all, it's irrelevant whether or not you accept it because you have the same fate as everybody else. Right? Like, you accepting it is not for Allah. And you accepting it, Musa is saying, is not for me. Because he's saying what? This earth that we live on, that we take from, that we graze from, that we... It is the earth that we were created from. And you and I, no matter how powerful or rich or weak or poor or whatever you want to draw the differences on the sides of the spectrum, you will be returned back to it. And whether or not you like it, you will be brought from it once more to face the reckoning and accountability of the way that you lived, the day of judgment. So he finishes in his third stage of introduction, this reality. He gives Fir'aun a reality check. And he said, Allah Ta'ala then says, ayah number 56, we certainly showed Fir'aun all of our signs, every single one of them. Like, there was no reason for Fir'aun to deny. He had seen everything. Musa had performed a miracle, right? The illuminating hand. He had given him a clear articulation of faith. He had laid things out for him, asked him to reflect. He said, but he refused and he denied the signs. Two stages, by the way, to rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two stages. What are they? Denying and then refusal. It's impossible for a person to refuse God if they accept the blessings of Allah. What do I mean by that? You can translate it to like a different relationship. Can anybody here deny the existence of something that blesses them? Give me an example.
Denying that there's AC in your house if there's cold air blowing?
Oh, very good. Yeah, like you're sitting there and there's cold air blowing on you. It's kind of cool today, so maybe, you know. But in the hot summer Dallas day, you know, my AC blew out for 3 days last year. And my house got up to 89 degrees. We had to send my kids. We were like soaking our shirts in water and just wearing them around the house. You know that old school tech? And we had to send my kids to like someone else's house. And it was bad, man, subhanAllah, because it was getting so, so hot. So you're feeling this cool air. And imagine someone's like, man, you don't have AC? And you're like, what are you talking about? It's set to 70. Like, I don't think so. You're like, you're literally basking in the coolness of my home. How can you deny that, right? What else? Anyone here as a teenager ever thought or said to your parents, you've never done anything for me? Teenage angst on a t-shirt, right? I hate this family, slam the door. We don't talk about what happens after because we don't want our parents to get in trouble. So, you know, just that rejection, that sheer rejection. I'm so happy that we live in the era of phones, by the way. A lot of people are against technology. I'm all for it. So now I can document everything that I've done for my children. So that when I say no to them, I can just pull up the tape, right? I'm literally going to have somebody, you know, dad, can I go to prom? No. Why? It's so unfair. Unfair, really? Okay, let's go back to 2017. When you kept me up all night and I had to travel the next day. Let's talk about unfair, Musa. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so happy. It would be foolish. It's foolish, you know? It's one thing to say, look, I accept it and I'm just a jerk. Right? Like, I accept the blessing, but I still don't want to respect you. That, we define that person as just being rude, lacking etiquette, kind of mean, maybe a jerk. But it's completely another very scary sign if a person sits and basks and takes in the blessing of something and has the audacity to deny that thing. Right? And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Look at Fir'aun sitting here at the top of his society. Granted, he's a tyrant, but he still is benefiting in his, He still is benefiting in his own, you know, twisted, tragic, horrible way. And he's sitting there at the top of his experience, and subhanAllah, he still has the audacity to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if he had something to do with this, as if he himself had something to do with this. So then what does Fir'aun say? Ayah number 57. Who wants to read it? You want to read? Continue? Go ahead, number 57. Go for it.
He said, "Have you come to drive us from our land with your sorcery, Moses?"
Here we go. How many of you have ever been in an argument with somebody before? You guys know what it means to be derailed? You guys ever witnessed a deflection happen? Okay. What happens with the deflection? What does the person do? Huh? So they might throw it back at you, which is what's happening here, but they completely change the what? What is that usually a sign of?
Narcissism.
Okay, wow. Narcissism. We went straight for the jugular there, right? You know what I learned tonight at Heart Work? Yeah, what? I learned that you're a narcissist, right? No. We don't want that, okay? Although in this case, you're accurate, Melissa. You're accurate because it's Fir'aun and we know that he is narcissist A1, tip top, first class, right? Okay? What does that mean usually when someone has to just completely and totally change direction? No response, which means what? Checkmate, you got me, right? You lost, you like that person lost. So we're all sitting here and we're like, yeah, Musa got him, right? Like kidney punch, yes. Here's where the Quran becomes beautiful. How many times have we done this? How many times have we been in the position of Fir'aun where somebody is trying to make a point to us and instead of acknowledging the discomfort that they're bringing to us because it indicts us and it makes us have to think about our approach, we change direction in the conversation. Right? May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. As we read the narrative of Fir'aun, it's very, very easy to fall on the side of Musa and to be like, man, Fir'aun, what a loser. What a chum. Who would ever do this? But if you are honest, you will be able to identify micro moments in which you and Fir'aun crossed over in the Venn diagram. Right? So he says, have you come to just drive us out of our land with your magic? This is something that who was also accused of? Who was accused of being a magician? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, who is this surah being sent to? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When? In the fifth year after revelation. In Mecca. So this is crazy, right? Because now we're seeing the layers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the story to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Musa. Right now, we're like fully immersed in the Musa story. Peace be upon him. But when you go past that story into now Arabia with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you realize that what must this verse, this accusation against Musa, what must this have done to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? As someone who had to live being told, you're a magician, you're a poet, you're not well, you're mentally not well. As someone who's had to be told this, you're a magician, you're casting a spell on people. That's the only reason people are following you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down this revelation where Fir'aun, the archetypal villain, says to Musa, what? Are you some sort of magician? Are you bringing your magic here? What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What does he do? He's like, oh my God, he went through it too? Are you serious? Or like, imagine the heart. It's like when you went through so much difficulty and you meet somebody and you bond over that experience. They went through it too? You're like, are you serious? Can you believe it? And imagine their conversation. Hey, do you remember when Fir'aun told you that you were a magician? Musa says, yeah. He goes, man, you should have met Quraysh. They said that to me every day. You know what I mean? It's powerful, subhanAllah. And notice, we don't have a solution thus far. But what does this teach us? The Quran, by nature, if a person connects with it and its narrative, is therapeutic. It is something that brings rest to the soul. It is a shifa wa rahma. It is a cure and healing and mercy for the one who, because everyone has gone through a point in their life when they were, when someone said something to them, called them something that was not true, was not accurate. And in fact, it was an indictment against their character. And they knew that in that moment, that person maybe had more power than them, had more standing, was able to stand up and say that. And they knew that they could do nothing but just say, no, that's not me. So what does Musa alayhi salam respond? He says, have you come to drive us out of our land with your magic? Ayah number 58, go ahead. Yeah, check this out. This is baller. You ready for this? Remember, Musa just came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has complete and total confidence in the fact that he's been given this mission and he is going to deliver this mission. And by definition, if a person knows that they're doing what Allah has asked them to do, even if their human side is nervous, their faith is strong. Right? So their hands are shaking. It's like you studied for the test. You did your project for your presentation at work. You know that you've done it. But for some reason, you show up on the day of and your heart is beating fast. You know you've done all you can. There's no reason for you to be nervous. It's not like you pulled what I did, or maybe you did and just didn't do the work, right? Leading up to it, you're like, oh God, oh Allah, right? Remember that one time I gave sadaqah? I like, you know, try to do the story of the boulder, the people trapped in the cave. You know, Allah, I fed that cat one time. Please give me an A, you know? So Musa alayhi salam walks into this and he's being challenged. We can surely meet you with a similar magic. You're a magician, I got magicians too. Okay? Set up an appointment that we will not break. And this is oftentimes, by the way, a response from the you know, as Melissa said so poignantly, the narcissism and sometimes the arrogance. Fir'aun is so convinced that he can win no matter what. He's literally meeting a prophet of God. He's convinced that he's right still. Not a shadow of a doubt. It's important for all of us to carry in our minds and hearts. If something is not defined clearly in our faith or in our life, to carry the possibility that what? I could be wrong. I could be wrong. It's possible I could be wrong. Right? Otherwise, if you walk around your entire life in every relationship, at work, at home, as if I am right until proven otherwise, you're going to be eating what they call a lot of humble pie, right? You're going to be eating, it happened to me recently. My family, we had a boba taste test. You guys are laughing. It was a very serious thing. We had a chart and everything. It was very scientific. We did, you know, it was like a double blind. It was crazy, right? So I was convinced that one place was the best. And then, you know, my sister-in-law was like, no, you're wrong. And I was like, no, you're wrong. I'm like twice your age. You're wrong. She's like, no. It's really, Gongcha is the best. And I was like, you're the worst. You like Taco Bell. I don't trust you, right? Anyone who says Taco Bell is good, anyone who says that phrase, look, is it food? Is it food? You're more than welcome to eat whatever is halal on the earth. That's fine. But if you say the word, it is good, you have to understand you've established a standard. By now, I have to think of everything else that you say is good. Okay? All right? Understand that. So, sister-in-law, I love her to death, but she thinks Taco Bell is good. So she's like, Gongcha. I'm like, okay, yeah, Taco Bell, that's fine. Get your cheesy gordita crunch. SubhanAllah, we had the taste test. We did it. It was blind. No one knew which one was which. Okay, we did it based off of tea, boba, and a composite score. I'm telling you guys, we're serious about this stuff. Safi was there, ask him. And who won? Gongcha. Who lost? The one that I used to say I like the most. Funny example, really pointless and petty. You guys are like, wow, this is what you do, huh? Right? I thought you said you had kids. I did. They were asleep. But subhanAllah, I'll tell you something, man. That moment, the reason I'm sharing it is because it's lighthearted. But there have been a lot more serious moments in my life where I had to take defeat. There have been a lot more serious moments like that. Because I walked around as a 20-something, early 30-something year old, convinced that there was no way I could be wrong. Right? Listen, if Allah and His Messenger didn't tell you that this is absolute, carry that little bit of humility. It's possible. There is a chance, right? Fir'aun is walking around like, no way. SubhanAllah, and you'll see the difference very quickly. So he says, Both of us will keep this appointment in a central place. We want this to be a place that everybody can come to. He's so confident. He's like, call everybody. We're going to win. Then Musa says, okay, you want to do something serious like that? Your appointment is the day of the festival. And let the gathering be in the middle of the morning. Ayah number 59. Let it be prime time. Saturday, middle of the day. Let everybody come and witness this. Why? Because he's confident, but his confidence isn't arrogance. Because what? It's coming from Allah. So he knows directly. And he's speaking on behalf of Allah. Ayah number 60. What does he say? فَتَوَلَّى فِرْعَوْنُ Fir'aun turned. And what did he do? فَجَمَعَ كَيْدَهُ ثُمَّ أَتَى That he went and he strategized. He went and he planned. See, Musa didn't have to go and plan and strategize because he was just delivering a message. But Fir'aun announced with his confidence and then he had to go and what? He had to go and substantiate that confidence. Moses turned to the magicians and he told them, woe to you. We both know what Fir'aun is doing. We know that you guys are just doing an optical illusion. We know that this is not real. So woe to you. Do not fabricate a lie against Allah or he will give you his punishment. He will wipe you out with his torment. Whoever fabricates a lie, it does not matter. They will be bound to fail. And this is true, subhanAllah. You guys ever wondered why lying is such a serious sin? Why is lying a serious sin? I mean, like, if you lie and get away with it, does it really affect somebody? If I came here tonight and I was late, and I said, like, oh, guys, sorry, there was, like, a massive accident on the way. It wasn't my fault. But in reality, I just overslept. Let's say that nobody here knew, and I got away with it. Everyone here was like, oh, my God, are you okay? Is everything all right? No, don't worry about it. What's the problem with that? Why is it a sin? Why is it a sin for me to lie? Because this is like a common ethical, philosophical dilemma, right? Can I do things that don't affect other people? If it's only internal, can I do something that's less than virtuous? It doesn't bother anybody else. It doesn't affect anybody else. What's the problem with it?
We'll do it again.
What'd you say?
We'll do it again.
Yeah, you definitely will do it again. Because you got away with it. And then what happens? Maybe the first one didn't affect anybody. Actually, it affected you. And then eventually, who does it affect? Those around you. Those around you. It's like every time I say it, something drops. Those around you. Those people who are in your life will inevitably have to come into contact with your lies. And even if it was the first one that you got away with and the second one you got away with, eventually one of them will be blown up. And you know what? You know the only thing that carries a lie is another lie. And so subhanAllah, we see here Musa alayhi salam is trying to advise these people early. Look, I know that you guys think that what you're doing is just a little show. And I know that you guys think that you're doing something that's going to preserve your status and your position. Don't lie. Don't lie. Because your lie, when it's exposed, you will have lost everything. Right? And that lesson comes to us, subhanAllah. Don't get in the habit of lying. I remember being like in college and a group of friends sitting and talking about how well we could lie. Like how well we can lie. We'd be watching like these lie detector test TV shows and we're like, rookies. Right? Everybody knows that you can't look around. Everybody knows that you have to, you know. And do you know how sad that is? And also to some degree, how comfortable, especially Muslims who were raised in homes, maybe with parents who were very strict on them for their Islam, that they had to grow up in a realm where they had to lie and keep up the lie and how good of a liar they became because of that. It's like super scary, subhanAllah. So we shouldn't be comfortable lying even in the small things. You know what's an example? Yeah, I'm on my way, I just left. Right? I'm on my way, just left. Right? Share your location. It's not working. Even the small things. You know, this is really hard, man, subhanAllah, because you think to yourself, it's not affecting anybody, right? But in reality, it will, and it does. So the magicians, what did they do? They went and they talked and they disputed amongst themselves, conversing privately. Why? Because you saw this dart that Musa threw about their honesty and their integrity, it hit something, it struck a nerve. And they went and they kind of started to dispute amongst themselves, right? And finally, after kind of arguing and going at it amongst themselves, they realized that they wanted to carry through with it, unfortunately. And they reaffirmed and they reassured themselves that these are just two magicians, Musa and Harun, these two brothers. They're just two magicians just like us. Like, there's nothing special about these guys. And all they want to do is drive us out of power. All they want to do is bring us down. They don't actually care. They're not actually here to save these people. No, they just want to be empowered themselves. And they want to change your life. They want to do away with your most cherished traditions, the things that you live, the things that you live for. You know, something very powerful that Sheikh Abdul Nasser told me about this ayah that I thought was very deep. When we were talking about the tafsir of these ayat, he said something really powerful. He said, these two ayat, number 62 and 63, so write them down, circle them, mark them. Number 62 and 63 highlight the danger of not seeking counsel from anybody beside those people who will just perpetuate you on the path that you're already on. Yes, men. What happens if a person refuses to seek advice from people who they think, or maybe even they know, the advice will be even the slightest bit bitter? You know that somebody's going to tell you that what you're doing is not right. And so we avoid them. It's a natural human response, right? We don't want to be put in a place of discomfort, whether it's emotional, physical, right, or mental. But subhanAllah, you see that the devastation that the magicians are going to go through is partially because they refused to seek counsel and to turn to their better inclinations, and they just reaffirm one another that they were all right anyways. So how many of us were in a situation and we're around people in our life, or we are the person, check this out, because sometimes we like to center ourselves and look at everyone and like, yeah man, my friends are the problem, that's the issue. Well, typically, if my friends are the problem, I'm also part of that problem. Because if I'm looking for advice and I'm getting bad advice, when someone else is looking for advice, I'm also giving bad advice. It's like an echo chamber of bad advice. And it's difficult to be the one that in private reaches out and says, because I love you, I'm not doing this for any weird sort of glory moment. Because I love you, I want to tell you that I think the story you told me earlier, I think maybe you were the one who made the mistake. Right, to be that one voice out of 100 that is able to give growth to somebody. And you know what happens when you do that is the next time somebody does that for you, you actually recognize it for what it is and you don't respond negatively. So somebody comes to you and they say, hey, I'm going to say something and it may not be the easiest thing to hear, but I care for you and I want you to know this. Then all of a sudden you actually get what? You get excited. Because you're like, man, this person cares for me. I'm about to get free advice from somebody in the era of the $500 per hour consultant. Are you serious? And this person's about to tell me that, you know what? I remember, subhanAllah, there was a friend of mine and he had gotten married. And one time he made a joke, like one of those typical misogynist trope jokes about his wife. It was weird because it didn't even sound like it came from him. You know what I mean? Just kind of like, he just said it like off his tongue, like a puppet, you know? Because a lot of times it just kind of happens, right? And everyone makes mistakes. He's not an evil person. He just said it. And I remember like there was a group of people and no one said anything. I didn't say anything either. We're all just sitting there. We all just kind of sat there and marinated in the discomfort. And then we left. And I regretted that moment. Years later, we caught up and I actually brought it up. Because he was also somebody who works in the community. And we brought it up and he said, I wish you guys corrected me then. I was dumb. I was stupid, man. I was like a 20-year-old kid saying this stuff that I just heard from like generations, whatever. Why did I even say that? And he's like, that was the most backwards. He goes, I hear people now come to me and say similar things. And I cringe in myself that I can't believe I was one of those people. Right? And he actually felt upset at us. I thought you guys were good friends. See, that's the danger of always staying quiet. Is that when the person eventually does struggle as the result, they'll look and say, I thought you guys cared about me. And if not in this life, in the next life. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, he mentions the person in Jannah who is looking for the friends that they used to hang out with in the dunya. And that person, they ask, and they say, anyone want to come look for the crew? The homies, let's go look for them. And everyone they ask is quiet because they know that they didn't make it. So finally, this person goes and they look over, they peer over into the depths of Jahannam, and they see, of the hellfire, they see the people that they used to spend their time with. And they look at them, and you know what they say to them? They say, you guys almost caused me the same grief that you're in now. You almost brought me down with you. Right? You almost took me there. That's not what good friends do. Good friends care for each other. They try to elevate one another, not bring them down. If they see something wrong, gently, with love, with care, they try to redirect, correct. If not then later, at some point. Not in public, in private. That's okay, in some point. And so these magicians, unfortunately, failed at that test. But they passed a big one later. We're going to finish, inshallah. I'm sorry for the delay, but I want to make sure we get through this. So they said to each other, orchestrate your plan. Right? فَأَجْمِعُوا كَيْدَكُمْ. Orchestrate your plan. Put together your strategy. Then come forward in perfect lines. Like, come forward proper. We're not gonna show any of this nervousness, this anxiety. And whoever wins today will be the one who is successful. They show up on the day of the festival. And what do they say? Ayah number 65. They say, oh Moses, are you going to cast first? Or are we going to cast? Who's going to start? What does Musa alayhi salam say? Ayah number 66. Who can read it? What does he say? Anybody? Go ahead. This is a discussion. So go ahead. Yeah. In the back. Yeah. Why did Musa tell them to throw first? If he knew he was coming from the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did he say, you guys go ahead? This is the duel. This is the duel. Why did he say, why do you guys think he said, you guys go ahead?
So people could see the Pharaoh fail.
Okay, good. Let them wallow in their failure. Possibly, that's good. Right? Yeah. So people could see. By what? Especially by contrast. Right? You saw what they did. Now let's look at what the truth holds. Okay? What else?
Strategy.
Okay, yeah. That's actually mentioned a lot in the tafsir. So what do you mean by that?
So if he tells them to go first, knowing that he has the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind him, He knows that whatever they're going to do is going to be subpar or lackluster compared to what he has to show. So by allowing them to go first, he's basically allowing them to show themselves as frauds.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way he can show, you know, the true power that he has.
Very good. It's mentioned, actually. And one of the things, the phrase that I want you to write next to this verse 66 is what? You don't always have to show your cards. You don't always have to present your side, even if you know that you're right. Right? Sometimes the conviction of being correct brings with it its own sense of kind of drama and bravado. Right? I'm right, and I'll show you why I'm right. And a lot of times society celebrates that kind of attitude. But Musa still maintains that humility here. He still maintains that level of decorum. Who do you want to go first? Notice, they're the ones that are kind of egging him on. Right? They got the hometown crowd around them. It's like the Cowboys, right? Except the Cowboys, yeah, just like the magicians, they know they're going to lose. Right? So, sorry if you're a Cowboys fan. I mean, the Bears just signed Andy Dalton, so I can't really say anything. All right. So he says, you guys go first. So they throw their ropes down, and their ropes and their staffs, optical illusion, magic, they start to appear as if they're what? Innaha tas'a, like they're slithering like snakes. What happens to Musa? This is actually a shocker. If you're reading, you don't expect this. What happened, number 67? فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً Musa. Wow, that's crazy. Allah Ta'ala tells us that when Musa saw that, what happened? He became scared. He became scared. Interesting. We just talked about how much conviction he had. We just talked about how he knew he was coming from the truth. Why would somebody who knows that they're coming from the truth experience any fear at all? Isn't that a sign of weakness of faith? Isn't that what I've been told? That if I have a doubt about Allah's provision or Allah's plan, or if I don't know exactly how things are going to work out, or if I don't demonstrate at all times rock solid tawakkul, right? Then isn't that just a matter of praying more and having more faith? Who has more faith in this moment than Prophet Musa? Who knows for a fact that he's been sent in the previous 48 to 72 hours by Allah after speaking to God directly, now coming, performs miracles, and he sees this parlor trick in front of him, and Allah Ta'ala tells us that in his chest, fi nafsihi, in his existence, he feels scared. What does that show us? It shows us that same point that we talked about earlier. Faith and your humanity are not enemies. They're not opposites. You're allowed to be a human being. You're allowed to cry. You're allowed to laugh. You're allowed to be afraid. You're allowed to be excited. This is by the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does faith do? Faith redirects the emotion when it is taking us in the wrong way. So if I feel a sense of fear because I'm not sure if I'm going to have a job, that's okay. In fact, I would say that's normal. Faith is what comes in and advises my heart during that moment of fear. Your heart is saying, I'm scared, and faith says, I know. But remember, Allah always provides. And in that conversation, the result of that is that your heart's fear lessens. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say here? قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. Allah Ta'ala inspires within Musa, don't fear. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. You will be the one that's on top. You'll be the one that's on top. Next, 69. Cast what is in your right hand, Allah is telling him, and it will swallow up whatever they have made, for what they have done is nothing more than just a magic trick. And the magicians can never succeed where they go. So Musa threw down, and just like Allah Ta'ala said, his staff became a snake and it consumed their wriggling ropes and staffs. Immediately upon seeing that, what happens? Ayah number 70, go ahead and read it out loud in the back. The magicians fell down on their face and their hands and knees, just like we pray, and they said, "Amanna bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa." They knew what it was, right? It's interesting, subhanAllah, check this out. Recognizing the truth does not mean that a person submits to the truth, right? Iblis, Shaytan, even Fir'aun to some degree, they know what the reality is. Abu Jahl, all these people, they know. They know what the reality is. They know, at the very minimum, that there is something that created them, that there is a sustainer and a caretaker, that they didn't make themselves. The arguments that the Quran places forth. Do you provide for yourself? Did you make yourself? Do you take care of yourself? Who brings down the rain? They know that. If you ask people questions, they understand. The submission element is the hard one. Because that means that I'm handing over autonomy to something else. I don't make my own decisions anymore. When I want to sleep, I have to wake up and pray. When I want to eat, I have to fast and hold on. When I want to keep my money, I have to give charity. That's difficult. Because we don't like being told what to do, right? It's part of our nafsi nature, nafsical side of us. So the magicians show incredible, incredible strength. Because on one side, they were trying to fight Musa, and now they say, you know what? That's it. These people were literally doing the bidding of Fir'aun, and now they have submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody ever should be counted out. Islam tells us over and over again, no one should be outside of the realm of faith, counted out from the realm of faith. What happens next? Number 71. And we'll wrap up with 72, inshallah. Or 73, sorry. 71, what happens? Go ahead in the back. What was Fir'aun's like high crime when it comes to Allah? What statement did he make? What belief did he have that was like his high crime? That he was God. What's one thing that we know God is? Merciful for those who make what? Mistakes. What is Fir'aun showing right here? No mercy. Zero. And we know, what does Allah show in this same moment? mercy. Allah Ta'ala forgives these people who literally up until that point had been serving the tyrant of the era. They turn, they change their way. And Allah tells us, forever preserved in the Quran, that He will forgive them. Crazy, huh? They gave their life serving this person, and they turned their back on him once, and he says, that's it, you're done. Do we ever need to doubt in the mercy of Allah? It's demonstrated time and time again. We don't know what that mercy is like because there's not even anything close to that. In the one moment you would think, they've been so loyal to Fir'aun this whole time. Up until the point where there was no more argument to be had. And Fir'aun doesn't even say, you're dismissed, get out, I don't want to see you ever again. He could have just said that. You're dismissed, I don't ever want to see you again, leave. You have one day to pack your things and go. No, he said, you're turning against me before I give you permission, you're done. Does Allah ever do that with us? We sin, we do things that we shouldn't do. Does Allah ever do that with us? SubhanAllah. So Fir'aun demonstrates here why he, of course, is not Allah. Okay? They responded to Fir'aun. Their courage. They said, by the one who created us, we will never prefer you over the evidence that we just saw. So do whatever you want. We're not scared. Your authority is only in this life. SubhanAllah, man. Okay? They said, we have believed in our Lord so He may forgive our sins and the magic that you have forced us to practice. Allah is far superior in reward and more lasting in punishment. The magicians, SubhanAllah, their story is so powerful. They demonstrate so many things. Number one, it's never too late. Number two, your sincerity outweighs every mistake you've made. One moment of sincerity can wipe away a lifetime of mistakes. Number three is that your courage in a moment when you know you're sacrificing something. Here, they're sacrificing the ultimate thing, their lives. Your courage in that moment is what defines you. We only know about them because they were courageous enough to say, we don't care if you take our lives. That's what legacy is made out of. When you look at the stories of people that we admire historically, forget even our own faith tradition, historically, what do you see? You see a person who's willing to sacrifice for what they believe in. And it doesn't matter if their sacrifice did in fact take away some comfort, some luxury, some privilege, because their belief was more important than whatever else they had. They couldn't live a day knowing that I'm going to live comfortably while sacrificing and compromising my beliefs and principles. So standing up for what you believe in, praying no matter who's around, identifying yourself proudly as a Muslim, no matter what it means, doesn't matter what it does to you in this life, the sacrifice is always worth it. You ready for another meta moment that's going to blow your mind? Who's this surah being sent to? The Prophet ﷺ. Does the Prophet ﷺ have companions? Is he seeing his companions die? This story is happening. And it's being sent to the Prophet ﷺ. And he's witnessing the Fir'aun, the Abu Jahl, which he said is the Fir'aun of my time, of my ummah, is Abu Jahl. He's witnessing him kill those who believed in him too. So Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ what? You're not alone. Not only is he telling the Prophet ﷺ that, he's telling the companions that. That you may have to give up the ultimate price. That people may actually end up taking your life. Right? Or at the very least, they may cause you a lot of pain along the way. You think of Sumayya and Yasir, radiallahu anhumah, the first martyrs. They were killed because they believed. And the Prophet ﷺ walked by them and what did he say? Sabran ala Yasir. He couldn't do anything. He was powerless at that moment. فَإِنَّ الْمَعْرِدُكُمْ الْجَنَّةِ Your home is in paradise waiting for you. What can Musa do right now for these sorcerers? Nothing. But he tells them and he reassures them and they are reassured in their faith. This is the right decision. We ask Allah Ta'ala, I understand, you don't have to set alarms for me, I get it, okay? It's like, that was my bedtime alarm. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strong faith. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to carry forth the belief that we have, not just in our hearts, but in our actions and our words. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to trust in Him and to have our faith always mitigate the concerns and the fears and the desires that we may have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be able to stand up to tyranny and the tyranny that is around us and within us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance and to never let us lose that guidance. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Tonight's Q&A, we're going to go ahead and postpone it until next week, inshallah, just because it's so late already. I want to make sure you guys have some dinner and get home in time. Jazakallah khairan. I do understand that it's raining outside. So I will ask everybody, unfortunately, we want to make sure, we do know that people can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the pandemic. Many people probably have either, you know, been vaccinated for their work, or maybe they have a condition, or they're able to get like a dose. We still want to make sure that we maintain the protocols that have been set forth, just to make sure that nobody does get sick or transfer sickness to anybody that they care or love or anybody else. So we do ask everybody, inshallah, not to socialize in the hall. If you do want to catch up and it's not raining outside, data shows that masks and outdoors significantly reduce the risk. So again, we're not telling you to do that, but you're more than welcome to do that outdoors, but we are going to be shutting down the indoor space, inshallah. So barakallahu feekum, guys. Love you all for the sake of Allah. We'll see you guys next Monday. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.